You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to the World Cup Minute, presented by Always Cheating. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Feeling great, Josh. I'm excited for this experiment we're doing for the World Cup. Every day that there are matches or going to be matches, we are going to be here podcasting. The idea, right, Josh, is that this is World Cup news and thoughts in brief that you can take with your morning coffee, or like, what do you do in the evening? Eat a bowl of ice cream, maybe? Your evening ice cream?
Yeah, it's it's Ovaltine in the morning, right? And then for me, it's more Ovaltine in the evening. I Ovaltine all day long. I know for others, it's my grandmother, God bless her, is the kind of person who would, I remember she used to have a regular cup of coffee. No, just at 11 p.m. at night, she would have a regular cup of coffee and one slice of toast with peanut butter. And that was her evening. Then she'd just go to bed like a half hour later. It was like a full
let's go right to bed. Let's treat this World Cup Minute podcast like that piece of toast and coffee. It's a routine. We're going to be with you every day during the World Cup. This is going to be fun. We were recording right after the World Cup has kicked off. We now know the results of the first match. Qatar hosting Ecuador. We've got like a running order to try and keep this thing tight, right, Josh? So why don't you kick off the discussion?
Yeah, and like you said, the idea here is we want a quick recap of what just happened during the day, look ahead to what happened tomorrow. Ideally, these will take about 15 minutes. You and I have never done a 15-minute pod in our lives. For anyone who is new to this podcast or this thread, we have a weekly Premier League podcast that we do. That podcast is fantasy-focused. This podcast will not be. I think you and I dipped our toe briefly into that world of World Cup fantasy, and that dip was enough. It's like dipping your toe into cold water. I was like, no, I'm good. I think I'm good. Thank you.
It really is like going to the pool, isn't it? It's not like I don't like getting in the water. It's just sort of like there are days when you're just not feeling it. You know, I don't want to be in a swimsuit during the World Cup.
Yeah, the fantasy game, the English Premier League fantasy game, that's just right for me. You know, that's whatever. What is the right pool temperature? Like 80 degrees, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Warmer than you think. So this is the World Cup Minute. Who played today? Very easy. We only had one match today. Qatar hosted Ecuador, right? I guess we have host. Do we have host countries? I mean, Qatar obviously is the host country, but I don't know if there's like a home and away situation. I mean, it's not like they play twice.
It comes into play, I think, during the coin toss or what have you, who the home team is. But I'm not into coin toss theory. I'm sure a lot of people have spreadsheets and pivot tables for coin toss theory, but not me. But for all intents and purposes, this was, the opening ceremonies. Qatar really gets to flex their host muscles, show us what they're about. It was interesting to see the sea of Qataris in their white outfits. And then you had the ultras section of Qataris who were in their maroon t-shirts. They looked like they were ready for like a Microsoft Windows product launch. That was like the range of enthusiasm.
Steve Ballmer was about to show up. A lot of pomp and circumstance. Wonderful. These big canvas flags. Did you see those? That must have been expensive, Brandon. You and I both know what it's like to purchase materials for conferences and events.
Yeah,
I saw that roll and I was like, oh, man, I don't know what the price per foot of that cloth was. So a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance. And then Qatar got trucked pretty much from the very start. They isolated an angle where that first goal was offside, I guess. And I don't want to it's like, I don't want to come here. I don't want to complain about the referees. I don't want to talk about VAR too much because it's just like that. That could just be every pod, right? You find one thing that went wrong and talk about it forever. And that gets very boring. But
there have been bad refereeing decisions happening in the World Cup since the dawn of the World Cup. The phantom foul on the Michael Bradley goal against Tunisia.
Germany. It was the England Germany goal, right? Where it did go across the line. Was that a Lampard shot?
You know, there is this not often talked about goal that Diego Maradona scored, and boy, that really went against England. You know, when you think about it, when you watch the
hand of the devil, so it's 2-0. Maybe it should have been 3-0. Doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess it could matter depending on goal difference at the end. But I thought Enter Valencia. It's kind of interesting. One thing. If you watch the Premier League closely and then you shift, you know, for us, it's almost whiplash like, right? I mean, you and I just a week ago were talking about the Premier League and now we're shifting to the World Cup. And, you know, Valencia to me is like a second, you know, he was like a second tier striker, right? Who played for West Ham for a while and he was okay.
And Everton for a bit.
Everton for a little spell.
Washed out at both teams.
Yeah, now he's at Fenerbahce, which is sort of the great retirement league for Premier League attackers. I mean, it's sort of, which, you know, I mean, that's fine. I mean, people say the same thing about MLS, Brandon. I'm not judging here. But Enter Valencia, I thought he was terrific. I thought that's the header. I mean, honestly, both the disallowed VAR goal and the header goal were both beautiful. I mean, that header was a good 10 feet away. Yeah. Bullet. It felt like a volleyball goal because it was like the first guy goes up. You know, like in volleyball, like they often kind of fake out the shot. And it was like two people went up for the header there. And like the camera's on the first guy. And then Valencia is like 5 feet behind him. But he's the one who takes it. You know, unstoppable bullet header.
He comes in from the left of the frame doing his best like Michael Jordan jump man pose. And it is beautiful. And to say nothing of is his penalty, which was like so coolly and calmly taken. Imagine this feeling if you're Valencia and you walk out onto that pitch for the World Cup opener and you just kind of know innately, I'm the best player on the field right now. That's not often the case for Enter Valencia. So more power to him. He sees the moment and
it doesn't really matter. I feel almost bad that it's fine because the World Cup is a whole different animal. I mean, Gareth Bale is not even really a starter level player anymore for LAFC, right? You know, but he's still. It doesn't matter because World Cup Bale is going to be a completely different animal. I think
a lot of these players, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these players can do it in a short spell. Like maybe they can't do it over 38 matches, you know, a 38 match season any longer. Right. Can they do it for three games? Yes, I think they can. And so I think someone like Valencia, maybe you just get his best version, right? And these guys are also surging with patriotism. And I know how I would feel if I was out there representing my country. But sadly, I didn't get called up, Brandon, but maybe in 4 years, you know?
You were on the bubble. You were, well, you know, just maybe like 2 million injuries away. It's like Battlestar Galactica, like the entire Earth gets exploded by robots. And it is the series of succession to see who's going to be the president amongst the like 2,000 living humans, and it's the Secretary of Education. That's sort of like how you would get to the U.S. men's national
team.
Maybe
I can crack a gold cup or something 1 year. Sure. So we had some winners and losers today. I think winners are overhead kicks. We saw two overhead kicks today. One led to the disallowed goal. One actually didn't really go anywhere. It was like an overhead kick that just like dribbled 40 feet out of bounds. But I love seeing the overhead kicks, Brennan. That's what I'm into. I want to see some scorpion kicks this World Cup. Mm-hmm. I think that would be fun.
Why not?
I like you don't get enough scissor kicks. So the scissor kick where the ball goes kind of off the pitch into the goal. Those are fun. You don't see those very often. You know?
It's a very specific goal you want to see. Wow.
Yeah.
Kramer has to ask Paul O'Neill to catch a fly ball in his hat for a kid with cancer. Yeah, exactly. That's basically what you're doing
now. If we're in my fantasy land, that's what I'm looking for. I thought Ecuador, it's a weird match because Ecuador, the disallowed goal, I think it probably took them 7 or 8 minutes to shake off. I think any of the really shady disallowed goals, I feel like there's always we see this in the Premier League all the time, right? There's a window where you're kind of like the match just gets sluggish because it just feels like unsettles things a little bit. But I thought once they started clicking again around the 10th minute, they were really in control, scored. Obviously, there's the pen, a Stonewall pen, thank goodness. I'm glad that one didn't have to get VAR'd at all. The keeper literally put an entire hand on his leg. And then, you know, obviously after the header, I think that was around the 30th minute, the match was effectively over. And I think that Ecuador treated it as such. And, you know, Ecuador, I mean, they may not have a bunch of household names in that squad. They got a couple of players to play for Brighton, but, this is a team that qualified fairly easily from South America. I mean, this is not a team to take lightly. And I think they just kind of, even if they didn't look great from kind of then on after the second goal, I thought it was like a workmanlike final 60 minutes, right? There was just yeah. no way that Qatar was going to beat them, basically.
Qatar didn't have the athleticism. They allowed so much space. I think a lot of the mistakes I saw Ecuador making were just they weren't used to playing in such a relaxed, uncompetitive match. There was that moment at the end of the first half where Qatar had a clear head on goal. And if that becomes a goal, suddenly the second half might have been a little more thrilling. But I agree with you. The winners here are definitely Ecuador. They are now written in the history books for a strong opening win. So there you go. Any losers today?
Losers. I thought that VAR just being involved so early on. I mean, it's just, especially for people who don't watch the sport that closely. I mean, the World Cup sort of brings in all types, right? And to have a really brilliant goal. I mean, it would have been one of the best goals of the World Cup, scratched off for a pretty convoluted offside.
Do you
decision.
Think it would have been a great? I mean, the keeper was completely at sea on that one. It was an odd goal.
You focus on the mistake. To me, it was just the overhead kick. Was it a headed goal after the overhead kick? I'm trying to replay it. Yes. The goal in my head now. I just like the kind of the math of it. I enjoyed, you know, like watching the parabola of the ball and the it was just very aesthetically pleasing, I thought.
So you said math, and I think that gets to the heart of the VAR. The VAR discussion is always divisive. It's like, don't blame VAR, blame the rules, blame the enforcement, etc. But they have gone one step further with this automated offsides goal. And instead of showing us replays of the match, they're showing us computer generated versions of player. Like, and our complaint, the broader complaint of VAR is it takes you out of the match experience. And now that we're not even looking at the players to make these sometimes very subjective calls, we're looking at computer layouts. It was very Epcot center to me and gross. I didn't like it.
Yeah. And I think the other loser was Qatar. Honestly, it was not a very inspiring match for them. I was one of those people who felt like Qatar actually had a chance of maybe getting out of this group. Not just because, you know, only two teams in the history of the only two host nations in the history of the World Cup have not come out of qualifying. And even though I don't think talent-wise they're kind of there with the other teams in their group or broadly across all 32 clubs, a lot of them play together, you know, in the same club team. And I was like, well, there might just be like a little bit of unity there. A lot of these people have gone from, you know, playing with their Premier League side or whatever side they're in, whatever league they're in globally, and jumping right into the World Cup a week later. And so I was like, well, maybe there's like some continuity in just living in the country, playing together. But I didn't see that on the pitch. Like that, I felt like this team had never played together in their lives. Like it was really not super inspiring. And it's hard to see them even getting a point, honestly, out of their next two matches. It's going to be tricky, I think.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to come back from a match where you weren't competitive at all to try and turn things around. So now my favorite part of the discussion, Josh, it's kit talk. I think we'll endeavor in every World Cup minute to not only say who are the winners and losers in football, but who are the winners and losers in fashion. And I think the kits today sort of spoke
kids
to
today.
kids today. The kids in this particular match sort of speak to what we were just talking about in terms of the match. A little bit kind of like meh. No bad kits, but no great kits. Like Qatar, I think the maroon color is very royal and nice, but there's nothing particularly interesting about the kit. And I'm not a fan of the crest of the badge appearing in the middle of the jersey.
Neither am I. I don't like that
Ecuador
either.
Ecuador gets points, Josh, for their crest, which I thought was just beamed off their shirt. I really loved it, and the little detail of the Ecuadorian flag colors above the badge too. So that to me was the winner in kits today.
Yeah, easy winner, I think. There, I don't mind the maroon, the Qatar maroon. I don't mind that. Their flag, by the way, is a really. It is a very simple flag, the Qatar flag. I feel like it's one that took about 10 seconds to put together, as far as I can tell. It looks like a, it's just a dotted red line, or maybe it's a dotted white. It sort of depends. It's like one of those like magic eye
things. Like a learned league flag, perhaps, Josh?
Yeah, very exactly. Very, yeah, a nice pull there. Yeah, you and I are both ex Learned League, but it's I don't know. Yeah, we had too much of that. All right, so tomorrow's matches. Let's look at those. Who plays? We have three games tomorrow. England host. I'm going to quick say, you know, it's hard for me not to say this because it's you have to get used to this kind of new. I want to say host, right? Because whatever country is listed first. But England Iran are the first game they play. I'm going to use East Coast times here, Brandon. But Ayn Rand by herself. Yeah, exactly. She's going to do it alone. That's her style, you know. England Iran play at 8 a.m. I'm from the Midwest, Brandon. I'm never going to pronounce anything correctly. They play at 8 a.m. Senegal, Netherlands play at 11 a.m. And then USA, they host. Mm-hmm. Okay, there I am again. Give me like three pods before I stop using this weird terminology.
We've got plenty of time, Josh.
Yeah, plenty of time. The U.S. And Wales play at 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. You and I are both planning to get together and watch that match in Brooklyn. Really looking forward to that. The stakes are obvious. Obviously, it's the opening game for all three of these clubs. I think, you know, a couple of things that I'm curious about are, you know, is England a legit World Cup favorite? I mean, to me, do you see the news today that Karim Benzema is out of the World Cup now?
I did. I saw that. Yeah. And, you know, now the world, I think his teammates have to be concerned, because anytime Benzema has to find other ways to occupy his time, somebody's going to get sexually blackmailed. So, you know, just a heads up.
Just
heads
look up it up. Yeah, exactly. We didn't bring it up, but just look it up. Yeah. I think, but with Benzema out, I mean, I think from what I had been seeing, it was Brazil, Argentina, France were kind of the top three, with England maybe a spot below. And so it's not that losing Benzema kind of just immediately takes France out of it. France is completely loaded. They won
the World Cup without Benzema on their squad in 2018. I mean, this just means Giroud's going to win the Golden Boot, Josh.
That's true. But I mean, you know, losing the Ballon d'Or winner on the eve of the World Cup, not ideal. Right. And so I do think that maybe that helps England just a tiny bit in terms of just weakening one of the top contenders for first place. And I think England are in a really interesting spot because I think they have a legit chance to win the World Cup. I really do. And not only have they sort of gotten very close, right? They should have been a World Cup final. Honestly, they were up, you know, 1-0 on in Croatia.
Croatia.
Croatia in the semifinals in 2018. They probably should have won that Euro Cup as well. The Italians may disagree with that, but they were certainly, you know, missing three straight pens at the end. So, you know, mentally, it's hard to say, but they've certainly, like, this team has been vetted, and it's a very similar team to the team from the last few years. Maybe, you know, Jude Bellingham has stepped up. There's a few players. Kieran Trippier is in the form of his life. You know, a few things are different right now. But up front, I'm a little worried, because outside of Harry Kane, who's been terrific to start the year, he's averaging roughly a goal per game in the Premier League, you've got Raheem Sterling and Mason Mount, who are not exactly inspiring right now in terms of what they're, you know, delivering for Chelsea. And it's an interesting question. I mean, what do you think about the idea of, given what a tight turnaround this is, do you think that your kind of current Premier League form is at all relevant to the kind of performance that you're going to have, you know, for your national team? Or do you think it's kind of like, it's like a big reset once you're there?
I think there's enough of a reset. I mean, form is form. Harry Maguire is
class
going
is permanent
to be like...
That's what you always say.
Sure, yeah. Harry Maguire is going to be the ultimate litmus test of this theory, because his form has completely vanished off the face of the earth, but he will surely be starting under Southgate. I think that a tournament like this offers more than enough motivation to take a player who is out of form and put them into a different category. So I believe somebody like Raheem Sterling, he might not feel like, based on his Chelsea form, he deserves to start for England. You know, want Phil Foden to be playing up front, Jack Grealish in that position. But I just think Sterling should get the opportunity, because this is what Southgate does. Like, this is kind of the end of the road for Southgate's version of this England squad. This is their last chance. This is their last job. It's like a heist film. And some of them are going to escape. Some of them are going to jail. And some of them, I don't know what's going to happen to them. I do not endorse the take that England are World Cup favorites. I mean, it's hard to gauge when you talk to England fans, and we talk to a ton of people in the UK during the Premier League season, and it's hard to gauge just how they're being generally cynical and negative as Brits. But
exactly. It's the default, and we say to someone who's had a lot of experience, talking with these folks.
The sentiment seems to be from the general England fan is maybe they were a little bit lucky in those recent tournaments that you mentioned, Josh, and does it all come crashing down? But I mean, Harry Kane is the player to watch. You know, if you're new to this England team, and if Kane decides to put the whole team on his shoulders and score a couple of top bins, then there you go. We've got a different narrative.
Top bins, it's where I always score. You know, just go for those top bins and you're good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think Trippier is a big factor as well. I mean, it seems like such a crazy thing for us to be saying this, but I mean, he's like a man possessed right now. He's been so spectacular for Newcastle. And I'm just looking. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at the kind of predicted 11 right now for England. And yeah, I mean, I love that Bellingham Rice midfield. I think that's terrific. Harry Maguire, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Maguire and Shaw—that's an interesting, not great, Bob. But let's see. Let's see if it all resets. And
it's so a good matchup, right, for them to get their bearings against Iran. And I don't think we have anything to say about Iran because I don't really know any of their players. But
Ali J, remember him, former Brighton. I don't even know. I was going to say Brighton player. Let's just say that, Brennan. Mm-hmm. I don't want any adjectives there. He was a former Brighton player.
I'm
going
to be
Brighton
straight up
player.
With you, Josh. I don't remember him. I don't remember
him. Okay. Eli Jahan Bakash. We started calling him Ellie J on the pod, Brennan, because it was just a little easier.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember him. He's the guy who cries every time he scores a goal, of course.
So I feel like this should be the game that England, the next two are going to be much trickier for them. I hope in one case, but I think this should be a fairly straightforward England win. And if it's not, then we'll have a real good sense of, who knows, right? I mean, in 2010, Spain lost their, I think they drew their opening match with Switzerland and then went on to win the whole thing. So let's see what happens. And I think, We'll just move in order here. I mean, I think that the the Senegal Netherlands game at 11 is really interesting as well, because unfortunately we found out that Sadio Mane is out for the entire World Cup. There was some hope that maybe he would be able to come back for the second or third match, and now that's just, you know, unfortunately a terrible timing with him. I mean, him and Benzema. This is really, you know, say what you will about Benzema, and you and I love to joke about his escapades, but you know, it's you're losing two of the 10 best players in the world on the eve of the World Cup is a huge bummer. And so, but Senegal is awesome, right? They won the African Cup of Nations. They have a ton of talented players, even you know, outside of Sadio Mane. I don't know that it will have too much of an impact on them in terms of their, you know, ability to get out of Group A, but let's see. I mean, I think it's certainly, I think them, they in Ecuador now are really, you know, it's going to be an interesting race there. And as far as Netherlands goes, I mean, they're sort of an interesting team. And they're you know, Louis van Gaal is you know, the manager of the club. Did you know that he's dying? I did not know that Louis van Gaal. Yeah, that's a really sad story. Go take a look at it if you want. There was I think it was The Guardian wrote a really nice piece about him. And, you know, he's a true character, right? Obviously a Dutch legend. And so, you know, took over the squad. It's got a lot of, it's kind of just an interesting mix of players. I mean, you have someone like Virgil van Dijk, arguably, you know, certainly was a year or two ago, the greatest center back in the world, still world-class. Frankie de Jong is awesome as well. Memphis Depay, I have to like sort of still, even though it's been several years now, take off my like Man United washout glasses when I look at him. I mean, obviously he's been playing for Barcelona. He's been awesome for Netherlands as well. And so, yeah, what do you think about this Senegal Netherlands match? Do you have any general thoughts on it? Anything to expect?
I think the excitement is that I don't quite know what to expect. You know, the Mane injury you mentioned for Senegal is a bit of a wild card, but they have a young player who plays outright who we both love, who used to play for Watford in the Premier League, is Lamani Sarr. And it could, you know, he has everything off going for him to have a breakout performance. I think people would slightly favor the Netherlands given the injuries. And
sure.
The Netherlands could be bad or they could be great. You look at a player like Steven Bergwijn, who used to play at Spurs and he couldn't quite get it going, but he's got talent. And Cody Gakpo, I'll make my second Seinfeld reference in one World Cup minute. You know, I always thought Todd Gack was a ridiculous joke in Seinfeld, but here we are, Cody Gakpo. I'm not actually familiar with him. But with De Jong in that spine and the great defense, I mean, Nathan Ake for Manchester City has actually proven me wrong and turned out to be a much better central defender than I ever gave him credit for.
You have Ake on your face? Is that what you'd say?
Yeah, you could say that, which is horrible because when you have a big beard like me, that's cleanup is a mess. But I think the Netherlands have a decent spine and a good enough defense. And when you're talking about an international tournament, that's like a huge boost to you. So let's see if they can score goals. I mean, Depay's, I think, Barcelona magic has worn off a little bit. So he may just relish having the starting role and a bit more of the spotlight.
Yeah. And for Senegal, I mean, Ismaïla Sarr is when playing well, he is like an unplayable player. He's absolutely terrific. And so I would sort of look to him to sort of step up a little bit in Mane's absence. But, you know, again, it's just, you know, that team is just very solid throughout. So, yeah, I think to me, this match feels like a draw, but maybe I'm just saying that because I could see either squad winning, right? And so, like, if this, I would expect goals, 2-2, something like that in that range, which sounds about right to me. And let's get to the final match, Brandon, which is, and again, we're trying to kind of move through all these things quickly here, right? Ideally, we've already gone like way over our stated time here, but
this is quick for always cheating standards.
This is so quick we can by our standards. That's true. That, yeah. And the final match for tomorrow is the US Wales, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Ah, Brandon, I just don't know what to think. I mean, it's you look at this Wales team and you're like, well, it's got, you know, it's like all these players that were like, they're basically all Premier League players, right? And you're like, well, I'm not really blown away by some of them when they play for, you know, you've got somebody like Daniel James is sort of, you know, didn't quite work out. He's actually done reasonably well, I think, for Fulham. And did he score in the final match? I think he did, right?
He scored against Manchester United. Game.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A revenge goal for them, selling him on to the next club. Yeah, I think they have good young players. Wales does. Nico Williams is a fantastic fullback, wingback. Harry Wilson plays down the right. He's fast and exciting, as is Daniel James, who you mentioned. And then you hear about who, you know, the grizzled old veterans of Wales. Joe Allen, who played for Liverpool for quite a long time. Aaron Ramsey, Gareth Bale. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of how old these guys are. They feel like they're all 40. but Joe Allen is 31. Aaron Ramsey is 32, and Gareth Bale is 33. You know, if you're talking to the Tom Brady's and Cristiano Ronaldo's of the world, like, why aren't these guys still just elite players? They're not as old as they say.
Yeah, and, like, if you took Joe Allen, Aaron Ramsey, and Gareth Bale and put them on the U.S. team, are all three of them starters for us? Probably at least two, I would say.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Daniel James would be... I think if we had Daniel James, we'd play him as an out-of-position forward. I think that he would be starting for us up front.
I'll take it. I will take it. Yeah. We need a forward of any kind. Yeah.
So it's a lot of – but I'd say talent-wise, we're fairly evenly matched. I think that Christian Pulisic – I mean, you know, you put Pulisic on a team that's not Chelsea, right, that doesn't have as much squad depth, and he's starting and doing, I think, reasonably well. I mean, it sort of almost feels like, I mean, I hate to say this, but I kind of want to see him move to like an Everton or I don't know, there's some talk of Man United for a while. That seems to have cooled down.
Don't do it, Christian.
In the summer. Yeah. Don't do it. But, you know, it's like, I don't know why I always want to say Everton, maybe just because there's so many American players have gone there. But
sure. I mean, Landon Donovan is our best soccer player in our history. I mean, he's up. Clint Dempsey is up
Dempsey's
there.
Up
but
there.
Donovan, I think.
Brad Friedel will have a word, Brandon.
Thanks. Yeah, I look forward to the call from Brad. You know how to reach me, sir. But Donovan had a couple of really great loans at Everton, and I feel like you don't have to go play for the Champions League winners, Christian Pulisic, to prove yourself. You've done that.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your sub appearance. Yeah. It's time to play some minutes, okay?
So you've got Aronson and Adams, who've both done, I think, you know, fairly well for Leeds United this season. And then you've got Pulisic, who is just, I think he's, I'm very glad that he finally gets his World Cup appearance. I mean, 2018, we just all have to kind of collectively, I think you and I, along with most other U.S. soccer fans, have really struggled to get over
come to Jesus moment for the entire federation and the fan base. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine how the Italians are feeling. Imagine like how they're feeling. They must be tearing their hair. And then they won the Euros 2 years ago. It's insane. Yeah. But anyway,
tearing their beautiful, luxurious Italian hair out. Has there ever been not good looking guy to play for the Italian national team? I'm not sure.
They seem it's just handsome dudes across the board.
It really is.
So yeah, as a U.S. soccer/football fan, I am ready to. I'm ready to be hurt again, Brandon. Let's go into it here. And so I think, you know, but talent-wise, you've got Weston McKennie, he plays for Juve. You've got a bunch of, you know, so basically this is a very different kind of U.S. team than we've had in the past, where you used to be a little more MLS heavy, or just kind of like a little further down in some of the divisions. Even the Jurgen Klinsmann teams didn't have this many players who were regularly, you know, like getting Champions League minutes, right? That's just a big difference from where we were in previous years. And so... unfortunately, you know, the kind of the downside of that is it's sort of convinced Greg Berhalter, who you and I aren't necessarily massive fans of, that they can play in a more kind of progressive way. And it's like we almost might be better off if we were 40% as talented, just played in a kind of counterattacking, soak up pressure, get them on the break style. And that's not really the style we play. And so... it's just hard to say. I mean, I think this match is really, it's hard for me to take off my U.S. goggles. I actually think that I don't know. I don't even know why I feel this way, but I feel confident about us getting some a result out of this match tomorrow.
I wish I could share your confidence. I guess I'm cautiously optimistic is how I read this game as a U.S. fan. Okay. Because I agree we match up decently talent-wise. I mean, some of the biggest talent on Wales probably surpasses us by a good measure. But, yeah, pound for pound, I think we're there. Sure. So the key is basically just how does the game play out, to be obvious about it. Who scores first? And I don't care about scoring too early. I really don't. I remember our opening match in the last World Cup U.S. played in 2014, and Dempsey comes out and scores a goal against Ghana in the first 10 minutes, and that set the tone. We ended up winning 2-1. And I think that tone is going to be really important. So I hope that, you know, we will press high, and if Wales can't handle that kind of youthful, high-pressing progressive football, then we'll do well. But if Wales controls the ball mostly, then we could be dead in the water and we'll have trouble scoring a goal. So I'm just kind of excited to see what the energy level is, what the confidence level is of this U.S. squad.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like you just want to really see enough. I wish I could say that my expectations were a little lower. I really do feel like we're going to qualify from this group and at least make it to the round of 16. I don't know that our ceiling is too much higher than that right now. But at the very least, you want to feel excited going into 2026, right, when we host the World Cup along with Canada and Mexico. And I think we will have there. I mean, just looking at this lineup, I feel some cause for excitement. And your boy. I mean, I don't know. I your boy Aaronson, though, Brandon. I mean, if he has a great World Cup, there's a good chance that's really the difference. And Pulisic, I mean, we all know what he is. I think the problem is, and again, this is where us doing this Premier League pod just really. I it's hard for me to see him through the U.S. player lens, and it's much easier for me to see him through the Chelsea lens, right? Where he's sort of he's ultimately a squad player for Chelsea, right? He comes off the bench and doesn't get a ton of starts, gets 15, 30 minutes, and hasn't honestly done too much with them so far this season. And so it requires a little bit of a leap of faith. But again, we just saw this with Ener Valencia, right? Like these, you take a talented player, you put them into kind of a tight window where they have to be at their best for 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see the, by the way, I hope Ener Valencia's knee is okay. I don't think I've ever seen anyone go down with a knee injury three times and then not get subbed. They were like, you're good. You know, every time it looked like it was a career ending knee injury. We'll see what everybody is. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, Gio Reyna, we haven't even talked about him yet. There's a lot of talent. They have not been able to get it together injury-wise so far this season. Like, it feels like we, honestly, so far, since this kind of youthful generation has come into their own.
Reyna with the injuries. Weston McKennie also had a brief injury outage, and I think he may actually be our most important player. McKennie is that talismanic. He has he has that aggro side of him, the deuce face side of Weston McKennie, where he's going to not back down to any opposition. I remember Kyle Beckerman in 2014 came out of nowhere to be this comfort blanket for the U.S. I mean, Kenny's way better than Beckerman, but
Gio Reyna's got some of that too. I think that Gio's got a little fire, and so I think he could have his moment. I mean, the guy can score. Like he's when he playing for Borussia Dortmund, he's really he's shined at times. He's had a lot of injury problems, but he's super young still.
Well, we promise, Josh, even if it's a poor result and a poor performance for the U.S. men, we are still going to come back with the same level of smiling enthusiasm for the World Cup writ large.
We're gonna keep it together. Yeah, exactly.
There will be no crying. I will not Ali J or whoever that guy is. I'm not going to cry on this podcast. Tears of joy or sadness.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Let's hope for the best. There's a lot. I think every match tomorrow is good, but especially, if I was a complete neutral, I don't know how many people listen to this match will be a complete neutral, but the match of the day honestly might be that Senegal Netherlands match. I think that's going to be a really great game. So if you can only watch one tomorrow and you really are neutral, that might be the one to go for.
Fantastic. And us here on the East Coast, you know, where you've got work to do on Monday. But Josh, because we're committed to the cause and we're also addicts for sports, we're taking the day off work and we're going to be at our favorite Black Horse in Brooklyn watching the matches. If you're local to New York City, come on down and cheer on the U.S. with us.
All right, that sounds good. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.